Hold on to your butts, it's time for a new episode of Destroy All Culture, a sonic death ray from Dimension X that sounds exactly like a weekly podcast hosted by Adam P. Nave and Aiden Morgan. Exposure to Destroy All Culture is 100% fatal, so we put it on the internet. Now listen and die! Lethal effects may take up to 75 years. And here we are with episode 130 of Destroy All Culture. I'm Adam P. Nave, and with me as always is Aiden Morgan.
Yes, indeed.
So let's see. It's episode 130. It's like an anniversary thing, which is apt given the week that we just had.
Given the week of anniversary.
Do you like how, starting with a segue out of nothing?
Wow, just segue ex nihilo.
So yeah, this week saw the 150th episode of Arrow and the 300th episode of Supernatural.
Yes.
And we should probably discuss them both. We should start with the lower number, I think.
Yep, because we are nothing if not, you know, hierarchy bound.
Right. So yeah, Arrow's 150th episode.
Here's how I felt. I have not been keeping up with Arrow this season, except for the crossover and a few episodes at the beginning. I think I watched up to episode 4. I'm like, I'll get back into it at some point. And so I watched this one, and I was like, oh, this is going to be interesting. It's going to be a different take on the material. There's going to be this documentary crew who apparently have been filming shit for like the entire run of Arrow's existence. You've never seen them, but they've seen them. And, you know, the opening, I thought, well, this is good. And then things went a little sideways. I don't know. I thought,
yeah, like the opening had a lot of promise, right?
Yeah. And then they switched to like normal Arrow. And I'm like, okay, I guess they're not going to sort of go full in, you know, full bore with the documentary thing. But I can live with that. But then after a while, it seemed like there wasn't much point to the documentary. Like, they had a great idea, but they didn't know what to do with it, so they didn't really do much with it. I don't know.
Yeah, that's what kind of killed me with it, was like the documentary actually, I think, ended up hurting the episode in a way that it didn't need to.
Yeah,
just because there's a level where like they're admitting stuff and they're having the same conversations. Like, you would hope that it would be full of the, well, we have to talk in circles and we have to be careful because we're following this documentary crew, and they just treated it like it was a normal day.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
which meant the entire thing just felt forced is the wrong word, because I mean, obviously, any plot is forced to some degree, but it just felt like we did this thing because we thought it'd be cool, and yeah, we don't know what to do with it.
Right.
Instead of, here's this really cool idea that we have that's going to, again, like you said, change up everything for an hour. I think it really did hurt it, because the opening was, it showed all this potential for, like, we could be seeing all these people talking about stuff in the show in a new way and how they relate to things, but they were like afraid to go full in.
Yeah, it was weird. I think the only moment when they really sort of figured out that it was a documentary where certain things could and could not be said, was when it was in that little sort of interlude when they interview Barry for...
Well, see, that was one of the weirdest things. Why would they have done that?
I know. That's the thing. Like, there's no reason for them to, like, go to another city and interview this peripheral nobody, right? Like, I mean, this is what I wanted to say. On the one hand, I was like, this is what I wanted, which was, you know, people sort of being aware of the premise in some way, but also they did it in the strangest way possible. Like, there was no reason for him to be there. It was just that's when it felt the most forced.
Yeah. On the other hand, the Barry thing was just hysterical for the, like, if anyone was watching this sort of thing and they were like, oh, why is this guy here? It's like, oh, because he's the Flash. Like, it was just...
Yeah.
It's like, it was just a great moment for Barry, but again, it didn't work.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and it doesn't make sense that a show that's been on the air for 150 episodes and can take chances and when it's playing it straight, does it really well. It's weird that they just seem to fall down so hard. When they tried. I mean, and as actually I read the AV Club review, it was very harsh on this episode.
Because I
felt a little unsettled afterwards when I watched it. I'm like, that seemed to miss the mark. And then I read that, and it was sort of like, you know, this show gets away with a lot of shit. I mean, because it's about,
yeah,
you know, people dressing up and running around in costumes, et cetera.
Right.
And then they said, but when you look at it from the point of view of this independent documentary, they could have made it look, they could have leaned in on the absurdity of it, but instead they went playing it straight, which only highlighted how ridiculous it all is when you try and sort of step back for even a moment.
Right, like, I thought, like, Argus was a secret organization.
I know.
Until they're, like,
up
in Argus filming. I'm just like, what? This is not a good idea.
Yeah. And it's sort of like, and also, like, you know, they come up, you know, Oliver and the crew come up to this abandoned building. There's a lock on it. Or not abandoned building, but, you know, empty building. And it's like, don't you need, you're deputized. Don't you need a warrant or something?
Right.
Or wouldn't you at least pretend in front of a documentary crew?
Yeah. Like, I mean, and that's the thing, right? Like, all those things that you pass off as normal superhero show shenanigans are suddenly a problem.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, no, and the whole, like, the bit at the end where they're like, oh, you know, this thing was banned. I'm like, okay, if it was banned, but you have a copy, then, like, people have seen it.
Right.
So, like, what happened here? Like, there's just so much unexplainable weirdness involved with it.
Yes, yeah.
And
I had forgotten about
I do, however.
You do,
yeah,
however.
Sorry.
I was going to say, I'd kind of forgotten about the flash-forward conceit of this,
yes,
this season. So seeing that, I was like, oh, that's right. Things,
yeah,
are all messed up now.
No, I've been liking, the thing is, I've been really liking the season and the chances it has been taking that have been landing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, Ollie spent a whole lot of time in prison and now is, you know, deputized, and, like, now the whole team is. I'm like, and it feels like this is the kind of chance that the show could take if it knows it's, like, probably ending next year, right?
Right.
But I've really been enjoying it because it's actually dealing with the consequences of some of this.
Yeah.
And so for this episode to kind of be like, yeah, well, we're dealing with the consequences most season, but right now we're just, we don't even know what we're doing.
Right.
I mean, I don't think they actually could have gone full in, right, because of all the weird issues.
Yeah, I think
And it's
they,
like, well, what else do you do with 150? I think that was their problem, right? Like,
right.
I don't even think most shows celebrate the 150th. They do, like, the 100 and, like, the 200 type of thing. And that doing the 150th really did feel like, hey, by the way, we're ending next season.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah,
what I mean? Like,
it's
just,
yeah,
something about it. It was just like, so, if you didn't get it.
Certainly.
Yeah, it was just, it was weird all around.
Yeah, I agree. And I also wanted more time with the new Arrow and stuff like that. But I'm assuming we'll get more. We have had time.
Right, like, and her face is in that documentary. Like,
yeah, that's,
oh my
weird,
God.
That was like, yeah, it was like they just sort of picked up the premise and then dropped it whenever, without even,
yeah,
really bothering. Yeah. Although I did enjoy the handheld documentary style fight scene. Because Arrow always does well on the fight scenes.
Well, what it made me realize, though, is that I want, like, an Office, Parks and Rec type of documentary-style episode of Legends.
Oh, my God, yes. Because they would do it up
like,
right.
Like, not an actual, like, right, and not actually, like, show the documentary, but just that same style that, like, you know, there's a mystery documentary out there type of thing.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they're just filing a report. I don't know, but it's just, that made me laugh, just the idea.
Oh, they'll do that. They'll do it.
I'm sure they'll get to it if they, you know, we'll see what happens next season.
Yeah.
But on the flip side of anniversary episodes, there was the 300th episode of Supernatural.
Yay, Supernatural. And again, a show that I really don't keep up with these days very much. But
which I think is a shame again. Like, this season has been really interesting.
Yeah, and this really did feel, it was funny because, I mean, even if you're sort of one of those people who've only really watched, you know, the first five and then a few more until you sort of,
right,
check out, this really did feel like something that was calling back to, like, the show at its, what we consider its peak. I mean, by,
yeah,
bringing in,
no,
Michael
this
and
was
unfamiliar Castiel. And, I mean, just way back to, like, you know, season two when he talks about when you get talk of Yellow Eyes. And I was like, oh,
right.
And I just thought, I have to go back and rewatch this show.
Yeah, like, this is what the anniversary, like, an anniversary episode feels like, right? Like,
yeah,
it wasn't, sure, they had the kind of case of the week thing because it's Supernatural and you still want to have that occasionally. But it was way more concerned with just a love of the show that they've created over the years.
Yeah.
You know, and just obviously like making fun of Sam with the, like, doing the It's a Wonderful Life thing, which was an interesting concept in the first place.
Yes. Yeah, I was wondering where they were going to go with, like, because I thought, okay, they get Dad back, there's got to be a consequence. And what's
See, I had a weird feeling that, like, they were going to get him back, and Michael was going to go into him.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was...
The type of thing, like, they bring him back from heaven, and he's like, I'll take this burden, son. Like, it was kind of one of those, like, and I was worried, because I was like, I could see the plot working that way, but the show wouldn't have hung that way.
Yes.
And so I'm really glad they didn't do it, you know. But yeah, no, the way they did do it was just beautifully done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, straight down to, like, the whole dinner at the end.
Yes.
Where it's just kind of like all four of the Winchester, like, the Winchester family just accepts their fate and keeps moving. And that's kind of, that's the show, right?
Right.
Like...
And why do I love their fates? You know, if like none of this had ever happened, Sam becomes like a Sif Steve Jobs-ish guru,
doing
TED talks, and Dean, oh my god, like I can't remember
he's
what
he's still a hunter.
He's still a hunter.
He's wanted for all the stuff because all the things that happened in the early seasons, where they were caught by the FBI and then they were like they faked their own death and all that, that never happened because Sam wasn't there.
Right.
So, like a lot of the hunters, he was just still wanted.
Yes. And there is, I can't remember, there's a shot at the end where you see, where you read the text on the wanted poster. And
right.
Like, there's, you know, for murder, and then there's, like, some really ridiculous charge, and I cannot remember what it was.
Hmm.
Yeah, if I hear the typing, you can probably...
Yeah, so I'm, like, trying to see if I can find it. I don't know, because the problem is that over the years, a number of people have just made fan art for them.
That's true.
So finding the actual, like, thing. But keep going while I'm looking for it.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And, of course, the other thing is when you're watching a show that's been on the air for 14 years, and you're dealing with people who have aged.
Right.
And it's really funny to watch, especially if you see it, like there's a little bit, the little preview bit, the then preview bit, when you see like literal season one and two, Sam and Dean. And of course, you know, Jensen Ackles. I'm assuming he's had a little bit of work done here and there, but by and large, it doesn't look all that different. And of course, I mean, Padalecki, of course, is the one who's aged the most. But by and large, when you see sort of Michael and Castiel show up, I mean, it's still not all that different. Everybody seems to have kept themselves.
So, the three things on the wanted poster, by the way,
yes,
actually are all our perfect show references. Because
okay.
It's assault, murder, and credit card fraud.
Right.
Which, if you remember in the early days of the show,
yes,
they used to be like, well, this is how we make our money.
Right.
Because we don't have jobs, and then they kind of dropped it for the, well, we know this is what they're off doing.
Right.
So we don't have to show it to you, to now they have the Man of Letters thing, so they have some money, so they don't have to do that anymore. So it kind of works.
Yeah, no, it's, I mean, I couldn't remember what it was, but I knew it was something that worked in canon. But it was just highly amusing. Also, telling that the wanted poster fades away, and there's a poster of like a running sort of class, sort of this like keep on going, keep on running. I'm like, that's very Supernatural. Just keep on moving forward.
On the other hand, did you notice that like if we had gone back, right? Like if their dad had disappeared, and Sam never comes back hunting, then the angels never find him to put Michael in him, and Armageddon never actually almost happens.
Yes.
And it's like, wait, maybe the world would have been better off.
Well, doesn't Michael say something like, yeah, we had plans for you.
We had plans for you,
guys.
But we didn't know where you were, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And then he's like, oh, you two. Actually, I like the Winchesters. And then he's like, just kill them. This place is annoying. And I'd forgotten how. And that's the other thing. You forget how delightful the angel, the whole sort of world of the angels was at the, you know, when they first introduced it, as basically a bunch of bureaucratic assholes.
I remember, when they first introduced angels, which is funny because I'm forgetting his name, the original showrunner.
Kripke.
Used to be like, well, we're never going to do angels. Like, that was the thing. He didn't want to do the whole God-angels thing. He just wanted to do demons. And obviously he gave in. But, it's fairly early on when they first, Sam and Dean are dealing with angels and all this. And Dean just goes, man, you guys are dicks. And I was like, this is this show. This is firmly this show.
Yes.
Because so many shows wouldn't have dared go there. Also, they finally did the Constantine joke.
I know. I was wondering if they've ever made that joke before.
No, it's never been in the show. They've never made a reference.
Wow.
And so they come along, Constantine, what? Never mind. It was just like, wait, what?
Maybe
14 years in, they're finally brave enough to do it.
Yeah, that was, jeez. Because I remember when he first shows up, I'm like, oh, because when I was first watching the show, and Castiel shows up, I'm like, oh, they're doing Constantine.
Right. Well, and they kind of were, was the joke. There actually used to be a bit of art somewhere. I mean, you could probably find it. But it had the difference in citing cosplayers at cons.
Oh.
And it was like, if they look like this, it's Castiel. If they have, the fake cigarette and like, some stubble, it's Constantine. Like, it was just the...
That's hilarious. Yeah. Oh, no, this was... And I have to say Castiel's assault on Sam and Dean played pretty horrifically. I mean,
yeah,
it was surprisingly brutal for Supernatural, which can sometimes go for grotesquery and gore, but I find is rarely just sort of straight up brutal and nasty that.
I also did just the opening, just kind of this cold open at the end of a hunt, sort of moment. That just felt very much like, here we are again.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
I think the only thing I would have wanted that would have made this a two-parter or extra-length episode was, given how good they are, I would have wanted the family to go hunting once.
Yeah. Yeah.
It wouldn't have worked the way I wanted it to because of when they pulled John from. Pulling out John Winchester from... after he knew that Sam was back into things and watching the kids now would have been fascinating.
Yep.
But doing it from he's just working with Dean and Sam's away isn't quite the same, which is, I mean, part of why I'm sure they didn't do it. It doesn't have quite the heft.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah, I think they, it was, I was almost reluctant to watch it after watching the 150th episode of Arrow. I was frankly a little reluctant to watch this episode of Supernatural.
Yeah.
Because I was just sort of fresh off here's how you don't do this kind of thing.
Of course.
And I mean, I figured that Supernatural would be able to pull it off. And they did. They did. They seemed to do it with the sort of just the right amount of sentiment, character work. And on the top of it all, there's still a story. There's still a hunter story, that they've just that they've managed to throw in, and like the sweet sort of little sort of teen gay love story, sort of just in there, which is also probably a little bit new for Supernatural, which was, I haven't seen it in a while, but it's nice to see them keeping up with the times.
Right. I mean, it was. I don't know. It just really was this was, and they seem to be really good at this because the 200th was the musical episode.
Oh, right.
Which, if you remember, it was actually the last time they... I do love that they had them, doing the song about, well, now we're not going to talk to each other, we're just going to pout. And they never pulled that trope since.
Yes.
I was I love that they did that in World to kind of call themselves out for shit they had done for, 6 years, 7, 8 years, 10 years at that point. God.
Yeah.
And then we're like, so we're done with those. They seem to be really good at their big anniversary episodes.
Yeah, they know. I mean, there's enough self awareness. It's great. And the other thing that really makes me want to go back and see it now, the show again, is that ending. When it leaps back to that earlier point in the show, and you wonder whether Like, you're just like, so did he? Did he kind of know?
You know what I mean? Well, no, it was a dream.
I mean, yeah, it was a dream, but yeah, it was.
And again, timing wise of the show, that must be the call that Dean sent him before he then vanishes.
Yes.
And that Dean then goes and gets Sam.
Yeah.
Like, that's an interesting moment. Like, they leap to just before the first episode.
Yeah.
Which, again, it's a perfect loop, right?
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, if this, frankly, if the show ended right now, this would be kind of perfect.
Yeah.
But it won't end. It will go on for 20 more years.
Sure.
You know.
But, I mean, again, it's still, this is what an anniversary episode should look like, you know?
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah.
And it's why the show has lasted this long, because in the clutch, like, even in the bad seasons, there are still great moments. And yeah. In the clutch, this is a, for whatever version of writer's room you have, they know what their show is. Whether it's the traveling version or the we have a base version or whatever it is a show about this family.
Mm. Exactly.
You know? No matter what configuration they are, whether it's just the two brothers or bringing back mom or whatever, they always seem to remember that core.
Mm-hmm.
And they've never broken it.
Yes. Yeah, it's one of the few shows that never seems to have, like, even, like, yeah, never broken. Like you say, even when it's been less compelling, it still seems to hang on to itself.
Yeah, well, the less compelling has always been a service of the season plot.
Yeah.
You know, it's like they've had some season arcs that are kind of dullish. And that's what makes for the worst seasons. But, like, even at its worst, the show is still enjoyable.
Exactly.
And, I mean, and let's give the credit, besides the writer's room and all that, it really is that Jensen and Padalecki are just so into what they're doing, even all these years later.
Right.
That they approach it, like, they approach their own characters with love.
That is quite obvious. You wonder, like, there's the scene at the end when they're saying goodbye, and they're sort of, there's tears right. going down their faces. I'm like, I wonder how close to the surface those tears were.
Yeah.
If you know what, if you take my meaning.
Right. I mean, that whole doing the dinner, like, where they're obviously having a conversation, telling stories and laughing hysterically, but there's no audio. You know that they were just telling weird stories about the set, right? Like.
Or maybe it was Jeffrey Dean Morgan saying, "So I went on to have a movie career. What about you two?"
Well, did he though?
Did he though? Nah, he kind of sort of.
He went on to Walking Dead.
Yep. Yeah.
And of course, never forget the great Walking Dead John Winchester joke they did randomly at the head of an episode once.
Oh, I don't remember this.
Oh God, yeah. No, they come in from a hunt into the base, into the Men of Letters base.
Uh huh.
And like Sam's like, you know, yeah, that was. Like, the bat was really effective, and Dean puts down the barbed wire bat. He's like, yeah, it was one of Dad's favorites.
Oh, Jesus.
And it's just, like, they just happen to drop, like, the Walking Dead bat there. It's just this little teeny reference. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. And I think if there's ever a difference between Supernatural and The Walking Dead, it's that Supernatural will do Walking Dead jokes, but The Walking Dead
yeah.
would never do a Supernatural joke. Because it's a bad show.
Oh, yeah, I, you know, again, like, when the show does eventually end, assuming that they're, you know, not, like, 70, it's going to be really interesting to see what those two go off and do, if they do anything.
I don't even know. But yeah, it's weird, because I have this weird, I can sort of almost imagine Padalecki sort of turning around and doing sort of, like, stuff that he did before, like, sort of shows like Gilmore Girls, and like, non-genre work.
Right.
Which would be just bizarre. I can't even.
Well, I mean, they both did try out at one point for different Marvel properties.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, Padalecki tried out for Thor.
Oh.
And Jensen tried out for Captain America.
You know, I can see that for both of them.
Yeah. Like, at this point, I really think it's you give Jensen, like, maybe you give him Captain America, you give Padalecki, like, Winter Soldier, and you just keep going.
Yeah.
Just the two of you were stuck together for eternity now.
Right. Maybe they'll end up together on, like, season 10 of True Detective.
Oh, Jesus.
I think that would be. I would. That would be. That would be where we reevaluate their careers, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, no. The big score that the show would never actually do, but if you want like the best, like we could just fuck with everyone, is just have Ted Danson show up as like an angel. Just once.
Oh my god.
Yeah, you kill him off, but just like. Wait, no.
That would be. Oh, that would be a delightful end joke. That would. Indeed.
But yeah, no. So you know, we had those two big moments. Past that, it was a week of TV. You know, Flash is still fun.
Flash is still. I'm behind. Man, all my CW superhero shows. I'm just not keeping up this season.
I get it. I mean, there is a little bit of fatigue there. I will say that I think this is the best season of Flash since the first.
Cool.
Maybe part of the second.
Okay.
Although I did hear a rumor that next season, Cisco is not coming back.
Oh, that would be a shame.
He wants to go off and do other things, which they could do. Like, they've been having trouble using him this season.
Hmm.
Because now they have Ralph, and they have, like, a Wells, and they have, you know.
Right.
The show gets really big, and I understand that sometimes you need to lose somebody. Losing Cisco would suck, but you could do it.
Yeah.
Especially since they have, like, the little vibe discs and all this. Like, you don't need him for that anymore.
Good point.
So, yeah, like, it's again, the rumor I heard was that it's going to be a soft exit, so he can, like, he's not, they're not going to kill him off.
Hmm. That's good.
So,
it's not The Walking Dead.
Right. No, it's going to be one of these soft exits so that, like, they can have him come back for, like, big episodes or, like, guest spots in other shows, you know, like, even, like, Legends or something like that. But that he wouldn't be a regular.
That is.
And, you know, he'd show up, like, once a season max type of thing. And it's like, okay. Like, God knows he's earned his freedom.
maybe he can, like, go to Legends and be hang out on the Wave Rider.
Good Lord.
I won't lie, that would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, well, I mean, Legends is just, they should just cancel everything else and just as much as I do like a bunch of the other shows, just let's just have Legends.
Exactly.
Four or five times a week, you know, just fuck it.
That is like, at this point, it has become, and I never thought this would happen, it's become like, for me, the unmissable CW superhero show.
Right, well, that's the thing.
Like everything else,
that's part of why you're kind of behind, right?
Yeah,
like,
everything else I can let slide and catch up later. Or I can see, you know, particular episodes or whatever. But Legends, it's like, nope, I'm going to
nope,
stop.
Nope, gotta watch it.
Stop whatever I'm doing. Gotta watch Legends. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah, no, it is the big show of them all for me.
Mm-hmm.
But trying to think. Speaking of shows, which obviously we have been. Orville's second season has been fascinating.
Fascinating.
I don't know where I thought I was going with that.
Tell me all about
it. You know, the first season had its weird issues with tone and trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
And the second season started with a continuation of that because the last episode of the first episode of the season, I think, or maybe the second, was supposed to be in the last season.
Hmm. Okay.
And you ended up with like two episodes very heavy on the same character, which was weird. But, like, past that, they've started to, again, do what, like, Next Gen did. You know, which is the, we're gonna take some, like, societal issue now and shoot it through the lens of.
Hmm.
But also, we're kind of a comedy.
Ah.
And they've been getting better and better results. Like, it feels less like it's the jokey Star Trek takeoff, and more that it's just the same type of show at its heart, but they're still going to crack weird jokes.
Huh. Well, that's okay.
And I think it was this last episode that, like, it ends, and, like, the last line of the episode is one of the characters on the bridge is going, "This is the weirdest ship on the fleet." I just kind of like, God damn it.
That's pretty
And good. It works. Like, it doesn't feel like they're calling it out or anything else. It's just that's what this show is.
Right.
So, yeah, it's really coming into its own now. Which has been nice to see.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's
not that it still doesn't fumble and still, you know, occasionally, like, its weird obsession with all aliens should talk like surfer bros. There's like a preponderance of that that they think is really funny.
Yeah, that's not as funny as they think. Oh, that's good. That's good to know.
Yeah, they still have issues with that. But like they have some like, you know, future fashion jokes that, like have become runners.
Mm-hmm.
Would just be like, oh, you need to add more zippers. It's like, why? But okay, fine.
If that's what we're doing.
Yeah, it's definitely worth digging into. Like, the first couple episodes, first two episodes, are not their best.
Fair enough.
But then it gets... It really starts to find its feet. In other weird... Well, not weird, I guess, but in other show-type news, globally, all three seasons of The Expanse are on Amazon Prime now.
I just saw that. I was looking at Amazon Prime, why only, yesterday, and I was like, wait, what is this?
So, yeah, if you haven't caught up, now's the time.
Mm-hmm.
From a friend, I can tell you, apparently also the subtitles are way better, because the old subtitles on Sci-Fi were terrible.
Oh.
And so, like, the Amazon did new subtitles, and they're apparently readable now, and you can keep up. So...
Oh,
if you're someone who either because of need or just desire, you know, want subtitles, go for it with the Amazon stuff. It works out really well, which I can understand too. Sometimes, like, the dialogue in the show moves very quickly. With the Belter stuff, it can get tricky. Like, I totally understand.
Yeah. No, me too. Although I find I really enjoy the working out the Belter language.
The Belter patois. Yeah I love it.
Yeah.
I think it's my favorite. Like, thing on TV for that sort of, like, fake language.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I always felt
kind of... Because it's not a full fake language, but it's, like, always... It's never confusing contextually.
No, exactly. Like, you always know what they're... You always know what they're saying. And it just... But it sounds like an actual patois, which...
Yeah.
I mean, I recall around... I remember when we were watching The Expanse and around the same time. What was that other... multiple alien groups living on Earth show that we were kind of
I can't think of the name of it now. What was that damn show?
It had Stephanie Leonidas on it.
No, it had what's her name from Warehouse 13 on it,
right? Why the heck can I not remember the name of that one?
Because it was terrible.
Yes that's right.
Defiance.
Thank you. Yeah, and my friend Trenna Keating on it.
Who was the best thing on the show?
Definitely, yes.
Not just because you happen to know her; like she actually was legitimately the best thing on the show.
Legit, yes, indeed.
But that one didn't work, right? Like, and it's funny because we always come back to Farscape. So I have two friends who've one of them has seen a few episodes of Farscape. One of them had never seen Farscape.
Oh.
And they would come over, we'd watch, like, Legends. And with Legends on hiatus, we were like, what should we watch? And they were like, oh, they'd love Killjoys. So it's like, well, let's watch, you know, Farscape.
Yes.
And we're only, like, six episodes in. Seven? Like, the last one we just saw was Thank God It's Friday Again.
Oh, okay.
And I warned them when we started the episode before that. No, I think it was, I forget which episode is which. But it was those two episodes with the aliens who both talk really obnoxiously.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, the Scorpion, and then the space is very cold, and you're like, oh god, stop it. But that, like, they're already creeping in with the random alien words.
Oh, nice, okay.
You know, in a better way, because, like, early on they were overusing it.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, now they're starting to already, like, ease into it, and Farscape was so good at that.
Yeah, I mean... I remember when I started Farscape, I mean, everybody I knew was like, oh, you just got to get through the first season. Although I'd found that actually I didn't need to get through the first season. The first part of the first season was a bit rough.
Yes. And then, oh, yeah, no, it famously is.
Yeah, but they managed, I mean, I thought that they sort of managed to begin to figure it out much sooner than most people seem to give them credit for.
Yeah, watching it through again, which is, again, like, not my second or third or fifth time. like, I'm noticing this time that, like, oh, no, the show actually starts to figure itself out, like, right around now and right around, I think, the next episode, which is PK Tech Girl.
Right. Yeah, I remember PK Tech.
The problem that throws everyone, I'm pretty sure, because I realize this is what throws me, is that Jeremiah Crichton isn't until later.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the worst episode of the entire series.
Right.
And to be fair, again, like the show doesn't really come into its own until the Durka Returns thing when Chiana shows up.
Yeah. Yeah, that's when everything, it all clicks.
But like you're already starting to see like this early, earlier than I thought. You're starting to see like Crichton just starting to drop a little bit of the pacifism.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's starting to just lose his shit. And his temper is like flaring. Like we're starting down the road to that Crichton already. Jesus.
I gotta say, there's not enough attention paid to the way he plays Crichton, starting off as this like white bread sort of, you know, leading man character, and just by degrees descending into like utter madness.
Right, and on the flip of it, watching Claudia Black just do like Aaron is just this soldier too. Her weird glee at the first time, because that was, again, the last episode we watched, where she has to, like, do signs, and she's like, it was really tough. It was like a puzzle, and I had to do all this stuff. And just, like, this kind of weird, like, I had to do this other thing, and I didn't know I was capable. And isn't this really cool? And also really hard? And look at me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just, like, her weird kind of not pure joy, but her kind of confused joy.
Yes.
At her growing boundaries, which continues for a bunch of the season, straight through that episode where she gets her DNA mixed up.
Oh, yes.
You know, and see, watching Aaron start to become a full-fledged human, you know what I mean? Like, for whatever version.
Right.
But watching her become a person, instead of just this weapon that's been aimed by the Peacekeepers. And so, like, you watch her kind of gain her peaceful side.
Mm-hmm.
As you're watching Crichton lose his.
Right.
And yeah. It all comes together at the end of the season. Where, I mean, obviously, you know, she gets kidnapped. He's like, fuck her. We're just going to go scorched earth on this. And then he gets captured. And she's like, so, scorched earth 2.0. And just the fact that the two of them kind of meet in the middle.
Yeah.
And that becomes Farscape.
Mm-hmm.
You know, straight through to, frankly, because I watched this one scene because I needed to. Every now and then I need to watch certain scenes of Farscape. But it all, for me, like, it's you have that first point at the end of the first season where they're both just like, oh no, we'll go any length possible.
Right.
For each other, and then slowly for the whole ship. And it goes right to the end of Peacekeeper Wars with, you know, her great do me a favor. And he's like, anything, he's like, get us out of here. And that really quick scene of just like, and suddenly they're just on the march and they are the deadliest things in the universe. And that really touching, weird, like only touching if you've seen the show, of them stopping, popping the clips, both licking them to see how the batteries are, which is something only Crichton did that infected her.
Right.
And just slamming them back and just going off. And it's like this moment of you've been watching these years of them meeting and drifting because they're trying to figure out their own heads.
Mm-hmm.
And then this one glorious, like, and because it's Farscape, this one glorious firefight. You know, a firefight towards, like, a worse thing coming. Because that's Farscape.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but in that one moment, they meet and they never drift again.
Yes.
And, like, that's, you know, that's the joy and heartbreak of Farscape, right? You're watching broken people try to shore each other up.
That's exactly it. That is Farscape in a nutshell.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
So, it's been fascinating for me to just rewatch it again with people who've never seen it, really.
Yeah.
Because I'm watching the, you know, like, oh, we're kind of laughing at, like, the silliness and laughing at, like, some of the Crichton aspects, you know, just the whole crew's just like, I don't know, it's Crichton. But also laughing at, like, Aaron's, like, weird, bubbly, like, it was hard, I did a thing! And it's like, yeah, you do, you laugh at that the first time because you don't see how it's growing.
Yeah.
You're just getting the first glimpses.
Yeah.
And again, like, it's Farscape, like, the heartbreak hasn't hit yet. It doesn't hit yet. You know, it's like, it does take till that first season to really build them up. and get you on their side, get you laughing at them, but also giving a shit about them and seeing their brokenness. Until you get to that first season, like last set of episodes, where you're like, oh no, they're willing to weaponize their own brokenness for each other. Like, that's interesting. Also, this last episode had one of my all-time favorite, which again, subtly, is a really important character moment that I didn't peg like the first two times I saw it. But Erin's whole, she gives me a Woody. It's a hysterical exchange.
Yes.
Browder's face when she says it is still priceless. Like, it's one of those, like, he knew the line was coming as an actor, but you could tell he still was just like, really? And then it's like, willies, just willies. But, as a character moment, she is the only person on the ship, and look how early it happens, that is actually going that extra step to try to use his weird language.
Right.
To relate to him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh god, she actually really cares about him already.
Hmm.
And neither one of them gets that. Like, the characters don't even realize that they're doing it. But it's such an important moment for that.
Oh, interesting.
Because, I mean, it carries through all the way to, like, when they're on Earth and she's watching Sesame Street. Like, her trying to understand him, but because we watch the show through his eyes, we see his version of that.
Mm-hmm.
But kind of hidden in these little teeny moments are all of her desperately trying to understand him because she's fascinated.
Hmm.
By this life that she's kind of, like, admires, but doesn't understand why she admires it, and is kind of ashamed of admiring it because it goes against everything she's ever been taught. But it's like, this is the first little teeny moment of her stepping outside of that into someone else's world.
That is an interesting take. I mean, I think it's entirely correct, but yeah.
Yeah,
I didn't realize they were doing that sort of work that early on in the series.
I said, me either. Like, I've watched that joke. I love that joke. It's one of my favorite little weird one-off jokes.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until this, and I was like, wait a minute. Like, it's totally a joke on the surface.
Mm-hmm.
Because no one else in the ship ever, except for Dargo, after they become, like, after they start risking their lives for each other openly.
Right.
Does he even start to play that game? With the, okay, I'll start using your words. I'll start learning, you know, rock, paper, scissors, or go down on a swing. Whatever it is, it's like, and he follows behind it.
Mm-hmm.
But that she really is the first person to reach out to him. Because structurally, you think it's Zan.
Yeah. Yes.
But she's not. She's just imparting her, you know, her version of wisdom upon him as a gift. And accepting him for what he is, but she's never reaching out to make it part of her.
Right.
Like, Erin is the first one to do that, and she does it so early that it really, like, and you go right from this into PK Tech Girl, and now PK Tech Girl makes more sense.
Yeah.
Like, why she's so frustrated, because, like, look what she's doing already for him, and he's not seeing it. Like, he's laughing at it.
Well, that is, yeah, I'm...
Yeah, the show is taking some weird, deep risks without anyone catching them.
Yeah, so that's I'm just kind of processing this because I'm just thinking back to those episodes, and I never really thought about it in that sort of context before.
Right, but, and that's why I like watching things like Farscape again with people who don't know it, because it mentally it always makes me look at it fresh again.
Mm-hmm.
But also with that, I know where this goes.
Yes, exactly.
And, you know, I got to do that with S.H.I.E.L.D. too.
Oh, of course.
Which is always that heartbreak. Because you watch that it's like episode 2. That, that like, everything goes off the rails and it never comes back.
Yeah, exactly.
But the show pretends it does.
And yet another program that I need to rewatch. Like, I'm coming away from this with, like, three shows that I think to myself, I gotta start from the beginning again. And I'm like, I don't have that time. Nobody has that
time. Right,
well,
I mean, and that's the funny thing. It's like, I see these friends, like, once a week, maybe. And not every time do we have time to, like, watch an episode of TV. So it's like, this is gonna be a really long rewatch of Farscape for me.
Yeah. It's a little bit
short. And part of me wants to just, like, rewatch it on my own time, too. And I'm like, I'll go back and watch it again. Just because, like, I know what's coming. It's like, I want to see all this greatness again.
Yeah.
You know, S.H.I.E.L.D., I haven't... I want to do a rewatch, and I kind of can't right now.
Fair enough.
That show is so heavy.
Well, exactly. I mean, it puts you through the ringer, definitely.
Yeah, like, I don't think I've ever watched S.H.I.E.L.D. through alone.
Oh, and
like, it's always been with somebody.
Yeah. Oh, and for the, just in case someone listening is confused, we're talking about S.H.I.E.L.D., not Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yes.
The S.H.I.E.L.D. So. One's Chiklis, the other's Greg. There.
Right.
If anybody needs to. Yeah.
Speaking of, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Clark Gregg is going to be on the show.
Yes.
And apparently he's not playing Coulson.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, everyone's like, okay, so what is his character? And they're just teasing that out.
Maybe he's playing Clark Gregg.
Well, what everyone, the big, that'd be great. No, the big guess right now is it's a Skrull.
Oh.
So they can, now that we're going to have Skrulls and Captain Marvel.
Fair enough.
And that the show will come out after Captain Marvel and after Infinity, after Endgame. That this could be a thing.
Gotcha.
But we'll see. Hey,
did you see an Australian website came out, released an official synopsis, they said, of Avengers Endgame, and it was not a synopsis.
Oh?
It was just, because I found it, I'm like, oh, I'll read this on air, because we were doing the comics radio
right.
show. And I said, you know, if anybody does not want to be spoiled... you know, stop listening right now. And then I read it out, and it was just, all it was like, at the end of Infinity War, the following characters are dead. The rest are alive.
Oh, there actually is a real synopsis that's been released, though.
Oh. But I mean, that's what I read. But it didn't tell you anything about the plot of Endgame, except that you had to, the characters now had to, like, reach out to old friends, including Hawkeye, and defeat Thanos. That's
yeah,
it.
No, there is an official synopsis now.
Oh, how did I miss it? That's weird.
I think it came out after that.
Okay. Because I was like, this is not a synopsis. This is...
Yeah, no, actually it is. It's the... No, actually this was. It's Disney Australia's official Endgame site. Yeah.
Oh,
I guess, they have to assemble once more. But it's the... where is it? No, this isn't... Yeah, no, it's the undo his actions and restore the universe that has everyone kind of twitching.
Right, yeah. But, I mean, I assume that was going to be the case anyway, so...
Well, sure.
I just didn't think it was much of a synopsis.
No, I am preparing for the backlash.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, everyone knows it's going to be like, they're going to undo everything, which means that most of this movie will be undone, in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
Will have never happened once this movie is over.
Right.
And I'm waiting for the backlash of, well, this movie doesn't matter then, because it didn't happen. Like, that weird, people have an issue with time travel stories that undo themselves?
Yes.
Yeah, so, brace for that impact.
People just, you know, freaking relax.
I saw something today, last night, whatever, about somebody going, like, I don't understand why people are so against hate watching. Like, sometimes you just want to watch something and not like it and be justified that you didn't like it going in. And I'm like, I get that. You know, as somebody who saw all of that Animal Hospital fucking TV show.
Yeah, yep. I mean,
but I also don't think I've ever really hate-watched anything. Like, I always hope for it to be good and defy my expectations.
Exactly. And sometimes, I mean, for example, I'm still watching The Passage.
Okay.
This is now 4 episodes in. If you may recall, a couple of episodes back, I talked about the pilot.
Yes.
And how it essentially, I mean, saying that it dumbed down the book that's not a very meaningful thing to say, really, but it really did. It networked television, the whole thing.
Okay.
Until it felt like a show from, like, 5, even 10 years ago. Like, when it felt like a show, the exact sort of shows that were coming out in the wake of Lost, when they wanted to sort of recapture that same kind of feeling, but didn't know how to actually tell an honest story on network TV. So
gotcha.
And frankly, one of the pleasures of watching this show is actually just watching scenes and then just, like, reciting the dialogue as they say it because it's so predictable.
Right.
But I'm also watching it because there's enough there that I like, and there's enough, and I keep on thinking, well, maybe it'll get better. Maybe this, you know, I have hope for the show. So it's not really a hate watch. It's a hope watch.
Right. And again, I think that whole, like, I'm going to watch this thing because I know I'm not going to like it, and then I'm going to tell you why I don't like it. It's like, why? Like, what do you get out of that except, like, a weird fleeting sense of superiority that isn't even real?
Yeah.
I don't...
Yeah,
I don't get it.
It's, guess what, everybody? I'm better than this, like, pretty terrible piece of media that I actually kind of
I feel like people just use this to justify that weird nitpicking thing, right? Like, you'll see a movie that you really like, and, I mean, we do it here, too, sometimes, God knows. We're just like, yeah, but like this. You know, this thing was a problem, but we don't, we don't mean it meanly. Whereas, like, you know, people who watch this stuff and are just like, well, I want to like this, but in the 2-hour mark, like, they said sesame seed bagel and it was a poppy seed, so fuck this show. It's like, what?
Yeah, and I mean, I can understand, for example, you know, there's, you know, if, like, people were really, really unhappy with season 8 of Voltron, Legendary Defender.
Right.
I haven't even watched season 8. But I think it goes full. I don't know what happened, but if I can guess, it probably goes full doubles down on a bury your gaze trope. If I had to guess,
that's what I've heard.
And it's, and I don't want to watch this because I don't want to see it happen. You know what I mean? So I mean, there's some things which like that isn't nitpicking. That's like just weariness and disappointment that yet another show has done something foolish. But for example, I'll never forget this. I read it was a bad review of Alfonso Cuarón's Children of Men.
Right.
And it said that, like, if you may or may not recall, the very beginning of the movie, you hear sort of like radio or television reporters' voices, and one mentions the siege of Seattle is still going on. You know, and then only Britain carries on. But they spent some time talking about the phrase Siege of Seattle and saying, but if you look at Seattle, it's not really set up for a siege. It's like,
oh,
this,
good Lord.
And going on about how this movie isn't as smart as it thinks it is. And I'm like, no, you just, like, whoever wrote that, I'm like, you really want to be smarter than this movie.
Right.
And that's really what's... That's
again,
the heart
there,
of this
people
review.
Make mistakes. There are bad scenes in movies that kind of wobble things, you know.
Sure.
Or TV shows or whatever. Like, it happens all the time.
And frankly, saying something was like the Siege of Seattle might have just been a building. I mean, it makes perfect sense, right? It could have just been a couple of buildings or a block or two in Seattle, and you'd still call
I'm going to make
it
a claim here.
Yes.
All these people hated Chuck. Because you remember... It's one of my favorite things that I have people who are like, oh, should I watch, like, I've heard the show, it's fun and all that. And I'm like, okay, but fair warning. Every episode has a terrible plot hole.
Oh, yeah.
But when we were all watching the show, remember, like, it became a joke. Like, it was just like, it's the plot hole of the week.
Yep.
Because the show was fun.
Well, exactly.
Who cares?
Exactly. It's not presenting a coherent universe in which all things are explained to you. It's a fun show, and they do dumb stuff. And
right.
At some point, Summer Glau, like, uses a knife from her boot to cut a Subway sandwich.
My all-time favorite plot hole of the week is still in season one, where they have an episode, which is their Thanksgiving episode, and it ends with Sarah might leave them all. And you see Chuck calling her and her phone just ringing. The next episode is their Christmas episode. And it's not like it's like, oh, we're going to celebrate Christmas early. Like, there's Christmas in the store, right? Like,
right.
They're planning Christmas dinner. And like, yeah, I haven't heard from Sarah in a couple days. I'm like, wait a minute. It has been a month.
Sure.
But the show doesn't care because it's like, yeah, but TV-wise, it's been an episode. So the hell with you. And I felt like that was that for me was like the moment. Like, when I found it in myself to just be like, okay. Like, that's when I could just accept Chuck for what it was.
Yeah. Yep.
And I think that pair is the turning point for the show in terms of, like, if you can't get on board with the fact that the show's going to do that and never apologize, then you should not be watching the show.
You know, the fact that when you were writing recaps of it and, like, your column was simply called What the Chuck? I'm like, yeah, that sums it up.
Well, because you got to remember, like, I came to the show late in the first season.
Mm-hmm.
Because Seppenwall had been talking about how much he loves it, despite its weirdness.
Ah.
And so, like, the first episode I caught was that weird one that used Britney Spears' Toxic, which I don't know why I remember. Like, that's the thing I remember about this episode. But it's, like, it's the Truth Serum episode.
Oh, right.
And makes so many weird logic leaps that don't work.
Yeah, yes.
But it has so much fun with it that I was like, I can dig this. And then went back and was like, I kind of have problems, but who cares?
Right.
And for me, like, the payoff for me, really, for the entire weird show, might be somewhere in season, like, 4 or 5, when it's like Brandon Routh's character is a bad guy, but we don't know it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, we know it, but they don't know it.
Right.
And he has this whole fight in the elevator, and you're like, okay. And then Morgan watches it. He's like, no, I've seen enough, like kung fu cinema to know when someone's faking a punch. And they just show you the stuff from another angle, which is normal, right? Like, that's how you film fight scenes.
Right.
But they show you the same fight scene from a different angle. You see that he's not connected. He's like, see, told you. And I'm like, that's... No, you can't do that, because it calls every bit of action in the show into question.
Yes, exactly.
Unless you're watching Chuck, because...
Unless you're watching Chuck. Oh, my God. That is... I love it.
Yeah.
Oh, anyway, we have hit the hour mark, sir.
Oh, so we have.
And
talking about,
should...
like, really old TV. Because why not?
Because why not?
Anyway, should we, I guess, go to some music?
Let's get ourselves to some music.
Woo! Music! Woo.